Great. So, I'm excited about OpenAPI, I'm excited about VOSDEM, I'm excited about you all being here. So let's get into it. OpenAPI traditionally has been a single standard. It's the OpenAPI specification describes how it's possible, describes every aspect of your API. In the last year, OpenAPI has released two related standards. The first one is Overlays, which lets you make changes repeatedly to your OpenAPI file. And the other one is Erazzo, which lets you link your OpenAPI, your different API calls together and programmatically describe how that stuff should be used and should work. Both of those new standards, we didn't invent them in the last year. They had their 1.0 releases in the last year, okay? So these are things that we've been working on for a long time and that address some of the most common questions, requests, complaints, however you want to call those things, in OpenAPI. The things that people wish OpenAPI did, but really were outside of the scope of the existing specification. So, if you're here, I hope you know what OpenAPI is. It's a way of describing APIs. The OpenAPI descriptions are in JSON or YAML formats. This is aimed so that both humans and machines can work with this format. Please don't complain to me about about the choice of formats. I don't make the rules, okay? If you've worked with something called Swagger way back in the past, you know what I'm talking about because OpenAPI was formerly known as Swagger. That was quite a long time ago. Swagger became OpenAPI 2. We released OpenAPI 3 in July 2017 and 3.1 in February 2021. So even 3.1 is 4 years old. So my request to you is if any of your tooling providers do not yet support 3.1, could you please ask them why not? Or maybe choose another one, just saying. How did I get there on that rant? Okay, so OpenAPI, you can give overview information. Now, this is something, the info section at the top of the file. Sometimes, that's not the interesting part, and we don't do an amazing job. Revisit your existing API descriptions. We are increasingly moving to catalogs of APIs, discoverable APIs, machines discovering APIs. You need to sort out your info section, because this is how everything will be finding and understanding what it does. And in an internal context as well, this stuff is really, really important. You describe each endpoint, and that's the requests, the URLs that you can make requests to. We also have webhooks. So if you have something where an event causes a response rather than an incoming request, you describe that as well. All of the responses that can be returned and the security. So OpenAPI describes every aspect of a RESTful-ish HTTP API. It isn't going to work for every HTTP API, depending on your API design. It is not great with RPC style. So that's kind of the main overview. Let's talk about overlays. I will not admit to having a favorite standard out of the three, so we better just skate over that part. Overlays are a new standard from OpenAPI. Actually, it's been in draft for 2 years. And then we realized, oh, we can't make changes to this standard because it's lots of people implemented it like that. And we now can't iterate until we've done a release and then we can make some changes. So I have released the overlays specification this year, but I did not do the work. I just made it so that we're ready to use it. Overlay solves a really common problem in OpenAPI. If you have an OpenAPI description that you use or that you either as a consumer or as a producer, would you raise your hand if you think it could be improved in any way? And that's the problem that overlays solves. So in a design-first workflow, which is kind of a modern practice, but I'm not going to judge anybody, you would make those improvements at design time. If your open API comes from somewhere else, either a design that you're not allowed to have input in, or you're a consumer and you can't improve the open API description at source, or it's generated from code, which is still super common, then overlays lets you fill in those gaps and improve things. If you're getting open API generated from code and all the descriptions are rubbish, or there are no examples, if there's perhaps one response example described but not the empty collection, the error message, you know, if those are missing, if you need to add them in overlays, you can. You can also use overlays to remove things. So the structure of the file is a series of actions where the action is update or remove. So if you have a situation where you can't include that experimental endpoint in your open API description because you're not ready for everyone to use it yet, in fact you can include it and use it internally, but then you can use an overlay to drop out those private, beta, experimental, internal, partner only, whatever, endpoints that are part of your API surface but which you maybe don't want to publish to other people or don't want to include in your SDKs yet. Another very common use case, and I sort of think about overlays in two phases. One is the input to make the open API amazing, which is some of the stuff that I just said, and the other is the output to prepare your open API description for a particular tool or a particular destination. So overlays, the draft spec has been around for a while. The tool support is nice and stable. And then in a sort of backwards kind of a way, we finally released the 1.0 version of the specification officially in October. So it sounds bleeding edge. It really isn't. People were using it and we just hadn't. The person who was driving this project stopped driving the project, and yeah, that's the story. Here's a tiny example. So this is an overlay with a single action. It adds a tag to all of the endpoints that use a delete method. You can see I've got an array of actions. There's only one because they don't fit otherwise. I didn't want to make my font size any smaller. They are executed in order. This thing is deterministic. So it will always do this and then this and then this and then this every time. There are a lot more examples and more explanation if you want to have a proper look at it on the Open API documentation site, which is learn.openapis.org. If you have questions, those are very welcome. Use the discussions feature on the GitHub repository. If you have problems with the documentation, criticism is welcome. I wrote it. Open a pull request. I'll be on the other end of it. Please help us. and I will help you help us. Overlays is coming along at a time that I am seeing such a big change in the API industry. I think we have a real understanding now that an open API file is not a static build artifact, or even write once and it never changes. I'm seeing a lot, there's always been some understanding of having different lenses, different versions of the API, different renderings, if you like. But that's now common practice. If you work on a microservices architecture, there's tooling there that will allow you to take each individual open API description and bring them into one that then you can use to make documentation that gives the impression that the different departments in your company talk to each other. Don't let me go down the rant about API governance and standards. That's a different talk and we don't have time. You could probably find a video of it somewhere. So we have the tooling to bring those multiple APIs together into one if we want to. Overlays will allow you to fill in the gaps. Those missing error responses are a constant problem. The way that OpenAPI began to be used was very much kind of a gateway to accurate documentation. And the result is we have a lot of generated docs where there's a parameter called this, it's described in the code, it shows up in the docs, that's it. And for anyone who cares about their API consumers, the expectations on API experience are greatly improved, and users expect very rich and complete documentation, and they're going to use your OpenAPI file for things that are not just docs. There are lots and lots of different tools that support this format today, and so it's important that we fill in those gaps, improve the descriptions. A real good use for overlays is if you want to provide documentation in other languages, you can localize the description fields with overlays. And so if you are generating your OpenAPI, or if something else changes about it, you're not trying to hand patch between these different versions that you have to maintain. Forget it. You've got a set of overlays. Yes, if the OpenAPI changes, you might need to add more stuff to the overlay, but it's repeatable. You can also use the same overlay for multiple OpenAPI descriptions if it isn't specific. So for example, I've recently worked with a customer doing a project where there are two problems that we solved with overlays. The first was their OpenAPI descriptions did not have license information. Fail. But it's all the same license, right? So one overlay, apply to everything, everything's got a license now. If we change our mind about the license, we're updating it in one place, we can reuse it. And the other one was, the API gateway needed different metadata depending which region they were deploying to for different data sovereignty risk and rate limit legal reasons. And that's fine. We just did a bunch of copies of the OpenAPI file, applied a different overlay to each one, and sent it off to whichever region we were deploying to. And so we didn't need to maintain a bunch of different things. There are a bunch of tools in this space. Overlays is not the only way, and it might not serve all of your needs. I have seen a bunch of really excellent OpenAPI problems solved with JQ. So don't be afraid to use any tool that comes to hand. Special mention also to Redockly's decorators. They give you scripting in plugins, so if you need the input data to figure out what your output should be, you're going to go down that route instead. But yeah, overlays will give you the changes. Cool, okay. Let's talk about Erazzo. Some of you knew this already. Erazzo is Italian for tapestry. Erazzo is the way that we weave together our different API calls to make a big picture. Now, I'm not involved in the marketing efforts in OpenAPI. Okay. So it lets you put together a sequence of API calls. The API calls are described in OpenAPI files, and so you add a bunch of, hey, there's this description and this description and this description. It handles multiple descriptions. So if you're making calls across different API surfaces, you can easily combine them. You can give it some inputs, and you can take the output of one API call and use it as the input for the next API call. So I see this useful also in integration testing. You probably have some sort of homespun scripting or maybe a postman collection, people nodding, awesome, a postman collection with a script thing that captures the input, sets a variable, and then calls the next one, right. So this gives you some of that. You can run the post, look at the response, and use that resource identifier in the next API call. So it's something that lets you really put things together. You can describe what success and failure looks like for each API call, and you can also say what you expect to happen. Because sometimes we are not testing the happy path, and so we expect an error. That's good. We need to be able to. When I think about the use cases for Arazzo, I think it is all about the API experience on our modern and more complex APIs. It allows us to create documentation that describes a multi-step API operation. It allows us to generate SDKs that know you do this and then this and then this to complete a particular function or a task. And so we can present a single method call to the user, and the generators can understand that it's multiple steps. Testing is a big one. So I expect the testing tools to be the first thing that we see really being stable and ready. So the structure of the Arazzo document, it describes one or more workflows. Each workflow contains a series of steps. So each step is going to be your API call. Those calls are in OpenAPI descriptions. You can describe success and failure, and you can both give input variables to a workflow or to a whole file, and then use those values and the outputs of other API calls throughout the workflow and the steps. So I really like this. Here's a tiny example. I only had to chop a little bit out the middle. Showing it's referring to an OpenAPI description for animals, and the workflow has one step, it just gets a random animal. But you could start to add other steps. If you didn't get an animal back, then you would do something else. There isn't really docs for Arazzo yet, but if you look in the Arazzo repository, there's quite a good selection of examples in the directory named examples. Hopefully you'll find it. And so that's a really good place to look for the kinds of things that you can do. And they're building on that all the time. So where does Arazzo fit in your workflow? So right now, it's kind of early days. This is one to watch through this year, because try to get the tooling vendors to tell me what they have. And it's like, it's on everybody's roadmap. A couple of people were like, oh yeah, we've got a plan. There's like one early release thing is out, right? This is, you're going to hear about this all year. So I'm not going to name any tools right now because it's going to be out of date by next week. But you're going to use Arazzo to improve the quality on your own APIs. You're going to use it to describe how things chain together and to be certain that all of those things work and to explain those things to other people. Remember that all this stuff is important for internal APIs as well. You know, I like my colleagues just as much as I like my external API consumers, right? They deserve the same experience. It's going to help us with integrations. Remember, for overlays as well as Arazzo, there's no rule that says you can't use this extra super magic stuff on other people's APIs, right? If you're disappointed with your producer's API experience, you can still ramp that up inside your usage. I mean, and then maybe you should blog about it and tell them to be better. You're going to use it for testing, you're going to use, there's going to be more things. Right now you can lint. Both Redoc CLI and Spectral have support for Arazzo linting, which is really useful when you're working with a new and unfamiliar standard. All right, what's next? So this part is incredibly hard because we're all volunteers. Kind of know what order I think things will happen in. But if anyone comes and champions something, then that's what's happening. And it's a little bit subject to who's working on what and how much volunteer time they then have. As you all know from your open source projects, you know, somebody has a baby, then that wipes out half a year for everybody. It's just, it's normal. And the Open ABI initiative is no different. Right now, our main activities are on improving the resources that we have. If you depend on our schema representations for OpenAPI, OAuthZo, and overlays, those look again. We have really pulled our socks up with that. That is much better. We're revisiting all our registries, and you will see changes coming in our documentation and in the spec site in the coming weeks and months. This is all the stuff I was prepared to put on the slide. Soon, meaning probably in the first half a year, we'll be releasing an OpenAPI 3.2. It is a minor update. So we recently released 3.1.1, which was just text updates to the specification, but no actual standard changes. 3.2 does have standard changes. We've added support for device authorization flow, and the OAuth2 schemes can be marked as deprecated as well, so that if you're using something that then you're going to remove in the future, we've got the deprecation support on those fields. We're adding support for a URL to get the OAuth2 metadata, so you can find out how to authenticate. So there's like a discovery thing that's in OAuth2. We support that now. It also has extended support for tags. So as of 3.2, you'll be able to add a summary for the tag, you'll be able to categorize the tag, and you can also nest tags. This is impactful for everybody. Please go and read about it and tell us if this seems like a terrible idea. It was my idea. I'm happy to hear that feedback. The path URL and templating improvements, that doesn't change anything, but it describes what you can and can't do much better. And that's mostly aimed at tools vendors to help us be more interoperable, right? Not soon, but someday, you'll have OpenAPI 4. The goal of OpenAPI 4 is, so it will be a complete change. You'll be doing some of the same things, but the format looks really different. We'll be supporting more types of API. So your RPC style should be better supported. Some of those legacy APIs should be better supported. There'll be more ways to describe what's coming in and going out. And things will be a little bit more separated in terms of what's an API and what's a deployment, those kinds of things. It is early days. So keep in touch with the project. If you are really interested or there are features that you want to see in the next version that we cannot fit into 3, everything that happens in OpenAPI happens in the open, right? So you're going to go to openapis.org, and you're going to choose your own adventure from that location. So we've got everything that happens in all the projects is on GitHub. It's in issues. There are meeting agenda issues or discussions. Look in the discussion tab as well to see what's going on. All the pull requests are there. All the conversation is there. The constant refrain in our Slack channel is, can you put that in a comment, please? We have regular public meetings. So all of those 3 specifications meet either every week or every other week. It is public. It's kind of an antisocial time for this time zone. Sorry. Yeah, I can't. There's many things I can't fix. If this seems like information overload, go to the website, sign up for the newsletter. We'll just send you small updates so you can keep up at times. So that was an overview of the OpenAPI landscape. OpenAPI, alive and well, still being updated. If your tools are not being updated, why not? Overlays, make your OpenAPIs better. Please? OAuthZo, tell the truth about how things actually go together, and that helps you and it helps your consumers. I've got some links to share with you here. Please connect with me, talk to me. I am currently looking for a job, so if you need me, you should tell me. And with that, I will say thanks very much for your attention.